Please turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And chapter 4. While you're turning up there, let me remind you to avail yourself and take some of our gospel outreach tracts that we have printed up. They are on the back tables as you leave. There are two things. Our very compact little Bible, which is great to hold in your pocket or your purse and to give out to folks. You know, in the summertime when we were doing the youth outreach, we found that these little Bibles were very well received by people because they are compact. They can take them without much embarrassment, and they can put them in their pocket and able to take them out at a later time and read the verses that have to do with salvation specifically. And so please, there are some of those. You may take as many as you like. We have a good supply. We'll keep replenishing the supply on the tables as you take them. And these tracts, you just have to fold them in half and keep them in your pocket or with you to be able to give out. For several weeks now, I keep thinking I need to thank Dana and Jonathan for this little glass, the glass they give me. They actually had it etched on. You can't see it, but it says Pastor Larry. It's inscribed on here, so that's my water glass. So no one else touch it. You can't drink it. No other pastors can drink out of it either. This is only for me, okay? Thank you, Jonathan and Dana. We appreciate that, that kindness. You have your Bibles open at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We are going to read from verse 13. To the end of the chapter. Paul is writing. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or shall not come before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." May the Lord bless His word to our hearts tonight. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, we give thanks for this time we can spend to invest in thy house on this day. Father, grace has found us here. Grace has opened our hearts in salvation. And, O God, we thank Thee tonight for the privilege that we have being under the Scripture. We have the Word of God in our own language. And, Lord, we don't count this as a light thing. We remember as the Briggs family were with us, Lord, just this past Wednesday, sharing with us the great work of giving the Bible, the Word of God, into a tribal people that do not have and have never had the Scripture before. What a great responsibility that is. What a great task that they have been charged with. And dear Father, as we have the Scripture in our language, we pray that we might use it to the best advantage. Help us to be very familiar with the Scripture. Lord, things that we can so often take for granted because they are familiar to us, yet bring them to us with fresh light, fresh power, and so that we might mix the Word of God with faith and grow thereby. Dear God, As we think of Paul and Marina, we pray for them. We ask that they would be blessed and encouraged in the great work they're doing. Protect them, Lord. Watch over them as they shortly return to Africa to carry on this most vital work. Ah, but now, Lord, as we just are settled and still in Thy presence, be with us now tonight, we pray. And draw near and encourage our hearts. Help me to speak clearly the word of truth. Open every heart. We think of those here tonight, possibly who are without Christ, who have never come to true faith in the Lord Jesus. Oh God, open their hearts tonight. Bless everyone listening online. Help us. We ask all these things in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. In our study of the book of 1 Thessalonians up to this point in time, we have been reminding you that this book has been written really in the context of an eschatological position. Well, that might sound like an illness that someone has if you were to go to the doctor and receive a word like that. Don't let that scare you. The word eschatology simply has to do with things of the end times. The Bible has a lot to say about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has much to say about how believers are to wait with expectancy as we are looking and watching for the return of Christ. That purpose of eschatology, as the Lord has given to us much in the New Testament to do with that, well, we want to be careful. We want to be understanding of His holy word. And so we are seeking for wisdom and light. And so as the apostle was writing these two books, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, they were done so from this perspective. If you turn to chapter 1 and verse 10, in that opening portion, you'll see that it says, "And they were encouraged to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And so when we think about the idea of waiting for the coming of the Son of God, you know, when the apostles in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 that we were reminding the folks this afternoon in our prayer time and study in preparation for the outreach period, we're thinking about the Lord who commanded His apostles and disciples to wait in Jerusalem as they were to receive the power of the Holy Ghost that was going to come down upon them. And as they stood there, they were promised, the Lord received and ascended to glory, that He would come again in like manner. The Lord Jesus Christ is returning again to this world. Now you could imagine in your mind, if you were a New Testament Christian and believer, that the glory of Christ's purpose having been fulfilled through the cross work of His death and resurrection, and then His ascension into glory, and the promise of His return. And remember that there was never a time marker put on that for these New Testament Christians, and so they were looking with anticipation. The Lord has gone from us, and He's promised He's coming back again, and so they were waiting with expectancy. Many of them thought the Lord would return before they had even died. And so when some Christians began to die, it was a trouble. Because death, you see, it was taught, was the result of sin. And when the Savior died on the cross and He was buried and rose again the third day, while they took great hope in the resurrection of Christ, when some believers began to die, they now are puzzled. They're thinking, it doesn't make sense. Christ has promised He will come back again to take us home to be with Him. And death is a result of the curse. And so people began to think, have we done something wrong? Is the Lord not pleased with us? Have we missed out? Are we those who are going to be cast off to a lost eternity now because they had died in the intervening period? And so these Thessalonians were also part of that concern. They were part of that uncertainty. And we have to understand that when the apostle went to Thessalonica, he and Timotheus and Silvanus, they went there to preach. They had a very short window to teach these people. They were there for a period of only 1 month before they had to leave. And so the teaching that would have followed as Paul sent Timothy back to be with them and further their instruction, and they had to grow. Yes, they had made growth by leaps and bounds. Their faith had been spoken of far and wide. And the apostle was able to encourage them and say, I am so blessed by the fact that your faith, your testimony, has been communicated across all of Asia. He said, I don't even have to speak to you about the subject of brotherly love, because the love of Christ is in you, and so much you have been the advertisement of that. And others have spoken about that testimony. But it seems that on this particular point, they were unclear. And undoubtedly some in their fellowship had died. And they were wondering, Is something wrong? Have we gone astray? Is the Lord not happy with us? And so the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, is going to give them some very important instruction. And these verses in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians have become vital verses for not just the New Testament church, but for Christians that have lived right up until this time. They are so precious because they deal with the issue of the return of Jesus Christ. And they talk about the practical connection of His return to our day-to-day Christian life. And that's important in the context of chapter 4, because last Lord's Day evening we were sharing with you again from these verses 1 to 12 about how they needed to be ready to live a life of holiness unto God, and how they needed to know what to do to be faithful in keeping His holy word. How can we be faithful believers in our day? And so the Apostle Paul, there's no break between verse 12 and verse 13 in this context. It flows right through. And I believe there is a very important connection, because Christians are to be living in the light of the return of Christ continuously. We do not know the day or the hour. We are to live in the light of the Lord's return. And we are to lift up our eyes, for our redemption draweth nigh. And when we see things come to pass around, we are to be watching and waiting in the sense of the urgency and the imminency of the Lord's return. And so, believers, as we come tonight to think about these verses, from verse 13 to the end of the chapter, and it continues on, but for tonight, we're only going to be thinking primarily of two verses, verses 13 and 14. But there is a key verse in this section which I think will help us. And it's really an anchor point. It's verse 18, the final verse. And I want to use that as a springboard as we make some comments upon verses 13 and 14, but primarily looking at verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. This is how the apostle sums up this section. And I want you to think about that for a moment, because it speaks of the tenderness of the Lord toward His church. That He is very interested in the comfort that we are to derive from His precious Word. And as the apostle was, you could say, the father of this infant work in Thessalonica, and had to leave it very quickly, and it broke his heart, yet he had them very much upon his soul, and in tenderness he encourages, exhorts them, as he did at the beginning of chapter 4, that they should follow on. Continue in the faith. Do not let the side down. Press on, because there is hope for you. There is God's holy and precious comfort that comes from the Scriptures, Wherefore, he says, comfort one another with these words. And these precious words, specifically in the context of the second coming of the Lord and how that was going to relate to some of the concern they had with those who had died. You turn back, please, with me to Psalm 119 for a moment, and verse number 50. If you were with us last Lord's Day morning in our communion service, I read to you from two portions, one in the Gospel and one in Psalm 119, beginning at verse 49. And the import of this, well, it has to do with the Lord Jesus and how he was afflicted. But notice, please, the words of verse 50. For the psalmist said, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. You see, the comfort that you and I can draw from the Scriptures is that which has been from the beginning. And all through the Word of God, He has given to us this encouragement that we will draw comfort from the preached Word, from the written Word, from the spoken Word. Oh, friend, there is so much for us to be challenged in and to be strengthened by in the Word of Truth. Turn with me also, please, back in the New Testament to 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, rather, chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Is he trying to get a message across here? Most definitely. And my friends, the love of God to us and the precious care with which he extends to his people, it comes to us in the form of comforting. And where will we derive the basis of our comfort? It comes from the precious Word of God. And so, Christian, whenever you are going through times of uncertainty, times of trial, times of upheaval in your life, where are you going to find strength to carry you through? It is from God's precious Word, His holy truth. And the comfort that God has for us is found in His Word. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, with this Word, with God's Word. The word comfort in our text and in the ones we have been quoting to you in the New Testament, it's the same word for the Holy Spirit that is given, the Comforter, the Paraclete. It's the verb form of that. So when Paul says, comfort one another, it's a word of action. It's a word that we are to be engaged in. We are to use the Scriptures by means of comforting and counseling and encouraging each other. Oh, friend, tonight, draw your strength from God's precious Word. Draw your daily nourishment from His Word. Draw that whereby you will be a testimony and use that Word to spread the message of light and hope to others. You find someone who is going through a time of great difficulty. How much blessing has been communicated by a little note? Maybe it's an email, maybe a text, maybe a card. But you quote some verse of Scripture, and that has been the means of strengthening and pressing forward, helping someone get through a time of great anxiety and of great pressure. And so here, in the context of this circumstance in Thessalonica, the Holy Spirit gives to us these words of comfort now before us. I want you to think about verse 13 and the opening phrase. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." My friends, the comfort of the Word of God, it brings to us clarity. The comfort of the Word of God brings to the child of God clarity. Brethren, he says, I would not have you to be ignorant concerning this issue. The word ignorant here is the word that means that we get our word agnostic from. Someone who does not know. Someone who is unknowing is said to be an ignorant person. They are lacking knowledge. But Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant on this matter. There may be people who are ignorant on many issues and on many turns. But the child of God does not have to be ignorant on any doctrine, on any teaching that is revealed clearly in and through the Scriptures. You know, as we live in our day, 2,000 years since the Bible has been completed virtually, we have a benefit and a blessing and more light than many people have had in the history of the Church of Christ. We have more Bibles, we have more commentaries, we have more devotionals written. Is there any excuse or reason why we remain in our ignorance about certain things? Perhaps, friends, it's because of our own fault. Our own negligence of the Word, maybe. Are we students of the Scripture that we should be and as we should be? Are we taking advantage of every opportunity that God provides for us? Are we taking the advantage of every time where the Scripture is opened and the Word of God is being taught? These things are important for us because sometimes we can become so self-sufficient that we ignore the benefits that God has presented for us. And in His holy Word, we have the instruction that we need to clarify our thinking. Now, does that mean that as you study or as you've read the Scripture, you're going to have perfect knowledge on all of these doctrinal points? Will there never be a question to be asked? Of course not. The Bible is God's Word that is deep. It is unfathomable by human minds in its completely and totality. And so, yes, we will always be seeking the Lord for more light. We'll be seeking the Lord for more instruction upon the sacred page. And each time we open it, we need to pray, Lord, remove my ignorance from me. Because the blessed comfort of His holy Word is that it brings clarity to the child of God. And friend, if you are seeking for light from the Lord, you want to know truth, you need to know His mind or His will on some issue, you seek the Lord for that. You get into the Scripture. You will find that before long, the Lord brings understanding and clarity to you. It may take time. I know of Bible scholars and teachers that have said they have studied for years and they have prayed over portions of Scripture that they did not fully understand. And after they have pored and studied and prayed, yes, the Lord in some way opens up their understanding. Maybe you have proved this yourself. I know that I have, where there have been many portions that have caused me grief and difficulty and I don't understand them and I say, Lord, I need help. I need light. I need more than I don't have for myself. And as you pray and seek and pray and seek, yes, the Lord takes away our ignorance. He takes away our agnosticism. Yes, He brings us into the light of truth. And when that happens, there is comfort in the heart of the child of God. And that comfort, because you say, now I understand, Lord. Now I can see a thing that really troubled me, a thing I didn't fully grasp, and now I can see it with greater certainty. And so, for the lives of these dear folks in Thessalonica, they were having a difficulty understanding the Lord had not come back yet. And people were dying. And Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant on this matter. And then he begins to give them the light. And when the apostle said, comfort one another with these words, my friend, he was speaking about the authority that God had given to him through which the word of the Lord was on the very pen that he had written. He knew he was speaking by the authority of heaven. You see, the apostle was not writing as if he was just writing a letter to someone. He was a man who was taken up by the Lord. He was a man who was set apart by God for a specific purpose. And as he communicated these words of life and hope and truth and comfort, he was speaking by and through the Holy Spirit. And so when he said that, to comfort one another with these words, he was speaking the word of God very directly. And that word was going to bring light and instruction and help to the people of God, to the church of Christ. To Thessalonica, most definitely. To churches that have followed on from then, and believers, absolutely. Right to this very day. For you and I still come to the word of God to have clarity of thought. Right thinking will lead us to right living. And friend, are you finding there's a void in your life on this point? Are you finding there's somewhat of an emptiness? Well, don't just sit back and wait and say, well, I guess it's not God's plan that I should have light on this matter. You're not going to get it by sitting back and doing nothing. There has to be an energy about this. There must be an interest in seeking the Lord. And I pray that we would be a congregation of people who love the Word of God and who are students of the Word and who study it, and to find out what exactly the Lord has for us, whereby we can be better equipped. And certainly when we're thinking about outreach and telling others about the gospel, there is no better thing than you know and memorize and have some scriptures in your heart to share what the Lord has done for you. We do not want to be ignorant brothers. We don't want to be ignorant sisters in the Lord. We need to be informed people. For the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. They shall be able to serve the Lord. And so we thank God for the clarity that the Word of God brings. But let's move on in verse 13. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. You see, the comfort of the Word of God, it brings to us hope in death. It brings to us hope in bereavement. It brings to us hope when all hope is gone. We have had more than our share of funerals in our congregation and in this very church. Many times a coffin has been in the front here, and we have had to deal with people who are brokenhearted because they have said farewell to a loved one. We think of Mrs. Schenck tonight, as she has had to say farewell to a beloved brother. We think of Norma Wilson, who had to say farewell to a sister, and she's not back with us from overseas yet. But this story has been repeated many times. And yet, my friend, I say to you, there is nothing that can comfort the heart of a bereaving person than the word of truth, than the clarity of knowing that death is not the end for the child of God. When a husband has been taken away from a wife, when a wife has been taken away from a husband, and whether it has been at old age or medium or even young age, which is so much more difficult, yet, friend, we know that there is a comfort that no human word can give in the precious truth of God's word. And as these dear Thessalonians were grieving over the lack of understanding, Lord, what has happened to our loved ones who have gone? Is there any hope for them? Paul is able to stand and declare, I would not have you to be ignorant of this matter, that those who have died in Christ, they will be brought back again. You will see them again. There is hope for those who are in Christ that have died. Because, my friend, there is comfort and there is hope in God's holy word. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And oh, what preciousness there is. How gentle the word is given here in verse 13. It talks about those who have died as if they have gone to sleep. Sleep that is talked about here is simply an expression for death. It's a sleep that is referred to of the body that has been separated from the soul. And the body has now gone to the grave, and the dust returns to the dust from which it has been made. This verse is not talking at all about soul sleep, which is a false teaching and doctrine, that the soul, when it dies, goes into some sort of intermediate state. The Roman Church calls it purgatory. Others call it just a time where there's a non-existence, if you like, or that sleep until the Lord comes back again. The Bible knows nothing of this. This is not a doctrine of the Word of God. When the soul is separated from the body, the Apostle Paul said very clearly, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is the hope that the child of God has. And so the expression given here about the departed loved ones, the body is going to sleep. It's a euphemism for death. But that is not the end, friend. That is not the end. And that's why there is such hope in this precious word. He goes on to say that ye would sorrow not even as others which have no hope. You've been to funerals before. You've been into the funeral home of people and families that have had to say farewell to a loved one, but there is no hope because that one is not in Christ. And for all that we know, and for every human possibility of knowing, we conclude that that person has gone out into eternity without Christ. And my friend, there is a deep darkness. There is a desperation that can be felt at those times. And it is so hard and so hurtful. And to bring comfort to someone in that situation, in an ungodly home or family, and when that person has departed, and they've gone out into a lost eternity, they've gone out, my friend, into hell. It is most solemn. Is there sorrow in those times? Oh, there is sorrow, but it is bitter sorrow. It is a sorrow that can be tasted because it's real. It is lasting. My friend, it is eternal. There is no bringing back from that appointment. There is no turning back the clock. And I say to you tonight, with all the solemnity of God's word, if you are not a Christian tonight, friend, you must flee from the wrath that is to come. Because if you enter into death without Christ, you are lost, not for time, but for all eternity. And there is no coming back from that. That is a desperation that can be tasted. It can be felt. That is a sorrow that brings grief that cannot be consoled. Paul knows well about that. He knows that there are many that have gone out into eternity like that. But the sweet comfort that is being drawn from the Word of God is this, that though we sorrow saying goodbye and farewell to those that have gone from us, our sorrow is not without hope. And that, my friends, is the comfort of God's precious Word. There is hope for us. There is hope we will see our departed loved ones again. Oh, my friend, tonight, the tenderness and the gentleness that is given to these dear people, that has been the very heart for so many Christians for throughout the millennia of history. They have lived a hard life on earth. They have suffered much. And they have died. And you have no better picture of this than Lazarus, as he was at the rich man's table, and the dogs came to lick his sores. He had nothing of this world. And when he died, there was no one even to be at his funeral to bury him. And he goes into the presence of God. And there he is with Abraham. And the picture and the story that Jesus Christ tells is so clear, that the rich man who also died and was taken into hell, and there he was in torments. And he makes an appeal to Father Abraham to come and send Lazarus that he might cool my tongue with a drop of water. But he could not go, because the chasm was too great, and he could not, Lazarus could not pass over even if he would. There is no hope for those that have gone. But friend, there is a blessed hope to those who are in Christ. And I say to you tonight, with all the solemnity of God's Word, you must prepare now before it is forever too late. Now is the accepted time. Friend, now is the day of salvation. Don't make excuses. Don't put it off. Don't say, what will my family think? What will I do with this situation or that circumstance? Friend, you cannot make any excuses. The Lord has given you an opportunity again tonight. It is time to make your peace with God while you still have hope and opportunity. And so this comfort that the Word of God brings, it brings to us clarity, brings to us hope in death, and oh, my friend, it brings to us assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ at His return will bring His loved ones with Him. Look at verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. There is a blessed comfort in the hope that Christ is coming back again. And when He comes back again, those that have died in the Savior, He has promised to bring with Him. As we continue our study in this portion of the Word, we will go into more detail in those ensuing verses. But I leave that with you tonight, my friend, because Christ is coming back to this earth. And as He comes back to this earth, it will be for the point, not this time of salvation, but this time for judgment. And He is going to return. And when He comes back again, He will be bringing with Him all the saints that have died in Him from all eternity, from the beginning of creation. He will bring them all with Him. And then those who are alive and remain upon earth will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air as He returns. That is a message of hope for us. That is joy. That takes away the sting of death. Death has been defeated by the Lord, and we rejoice today that our standing in Him is certain. It is a happy one. It is one whereby we have comfort. The devil brings to us many reasons for discouragement in life. Sometimes the day is long and the night is dark. And sometimes we have nowhere to turn, it seems. Oh, but believer, when the devil would try to beat us up with those thoughts of depression and anxiety and uncertainty, let us lift our eyes by faith and see that my Savior is returning. Christ is coming back to this world again, and He's coming back for me. He's coming back for every one of His children. And if the Lord wills, and we are alive on the earth when He comes, we will join Him in the air. But friend, if not, and the Lord intends that we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for the Lord is our shepherd. He is with us. He will bring us safely through, and we will come back with Him in victory and on that glory march on that day. Friend, will you be there? Are you saved tonight? Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Let's bow, please, in prayer. Shortly, our service will be closed. I don't want to miss this opportunity of challenging you again. If you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, you've never settled this matter with the Lord yet, but you know you need to. And His grace has brought you here again to hear the Word. Ah, friend, don't close your mind off to this. Don't close your heart. The Lord's arms are open to receive you. And you can know tonight. You can know His forgiveness. You can know the joy of His salvation. You can know peace with God, which you've never had before. Come to Him now, right where you are seated. You just pray and call out to the Lord and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And He will hear your prayer. Father, do a lasting work tonight, we pray. Do an eternal work. Father, our words are so weak. They are so empty. But yet, clothed by the Holy Spirit as we speak Thy word, they are powerful. They are searching. And therefore, take them and use them for Thine honor. Lord, hear this, our prayer tonight. Save, we beseech Thee, Lord. Bless and encourage every one of us who are Christians. Let us draw our strength and our comfort from Thy holy word day by day. Now separate us, Lord, in Thy fear. Take us all to our homes in safety. Make us a blessing there, we pray, O God. And use our testimonies, use our light, that we might be a witness for our Savior. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.